We'll add a tag on here to our baptism. John the Baptist in Jesus' life. I found a few words here that are interesting. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Aramaic word for baptism is mamaditia, derived from the Hebrew word amad, stand up. The Aramaic word amuldu means pillar. In the East, the disciples and followers of a man are known as his pillars because they support him. It is often said, he has been a pillar behind me, for one who stands for or backs up a person and pledges loyalty. Baptism is a ceremony of initiation which distinguishes the followers who take on themselves the pledge of loyalty to a new movement and stand as pillars behind the founder. Water is symbolic of cleanliness and of universal acceptance of the teachings, and the ceremony is simple. Other societies inaugurated their movements by making marks on the body of the initiates, such as circumcision and the covenant of blood. Baptism by water is an outward expression of inward cleanliness. It is further symbolic of baptism by the Holy Spirit, when men surrender their bodies and souls to God and pledge to live a new life. The baptism of John by water was a preparation for the baptism by the Holy Spirit. John was the herald of a movement to enlist every individual of every race and every color for the kingdom of heaven. Those who are baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity take the pledge to support the movement inaugurated by their master, not only with money, but also with their lives. The followers, by immersion in water, are dead to their former life and rise to a new life through Jesus Christ. Baptism by immersion, signifying death and burial, has been practiced by the Assyrian Christians from apostolic days. The priest dips the child in the water three times, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Until this ceremony is performed, the child is considered unclean. But afterwards, the child is admitted into the society of the followers of Jesus Christ. Taken from Matthew 3:13, Mark 1:9, John 3:22-23. Interesting concepts. Very interesting concepts. We are now at the point of Lecture 5. Did Jesus heal others, and did each self heal? Did Jesus heal others, or did each self heal? That's an interesting comment or an interesting concept to consider. Did Jesus heal others, or did others self heal? We are told that Jesus healed others, and yet every instance that we have of Jesus healing another, he says, do you believe that you can be made whole? And the person said yes, and they were healed. Now, if you were a good reporter, if you were a good person who took good notes, and you don't, you take notes only that interest you. So, did they take notes on the people who said, no, I don't believe? How many people said, no, I don't believe? How many people would have the courage to say that to a healer or Jesus? Do you believe you can be healed? No, I don't believe. Well, then get the heck out of here, you know. And are there a lot of them that? Did they hear him saying that to others? And were they put to the test of saying, yes, I can be healed? I say to each of you, unfortunately I say this, that when I do my healing work with you, you are a bunch of rascals. You do not stand up for the fact that you believe you can be healed. How is your stomach? You have a terrible stomach ache. Do you believe you can be healed? Well, then you're healed.
It hurts.
You don't believe you can be healed.
But it hurts.
You don't believe you can be healed. So long as you lay your claim on the appearance, then you are not gaining the healing. And this is what happens with many. They say, I want to be healed. Can you imagine a lady dropping out of her wheelchair at Lourdes and crawling on her hands and knees up the staircase to where she is going, not believing? Can you imagine a person doing that? It's hard to imagine it, isn't it? Is that woman healed when she arrives there? You bet. Do we have credit for that? You know, that she believes she was healed, so she was healed? No. It's got to be something big. It's got to be something doctor tested and doctor authenticated for it to be considered real. But how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds? You know, now look, just in pure vacant logic alone, and vacant logic means stupid logic, you know. In vacant logic alone, how many people go to Lourdes? You know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Now, you mean those thousands of people are going to go there and they see that nobody is healed? They're going to go there and they see that no one has left behind their illness? They're going to go there and keep going, hey, are you healed? Were you healed? Yes. I left my crutches there. I left my wheelchair there. I left my braces there. I left my problems there. Yes, I am walking straight now. Not that they weren't walking straight before, but they're walking straight in the belief of who they are. Now, how many Lourdes are there? There are hundreds of healing places. You understand? Mm-hmm. Hundreds, maybe thousands of healing places around the world where people go and believe and it is done unto them. Is this what Jesus taught? It is done unto you according to your belief. Now, they believe they have to go someplace, and that's okay. Nobody says you shouldn't go someplace. It's nice to get a vacation, you know. Get a break. Go there. And what happens when you are at Lourdes? What happens when you're there? Nobody knows you. Nobody knows you except the person who came with you, if anyone came with you. And you can stand up and be healed and say, ah, oh, that feels good to be whole and perfect again. And they say, it's not that easy. You know, yes, it is just that easy. Did Jesus heal others? If by giving them confidence in himself, yes, he did. If it is by laying his hands on them to raise them from the dead or to heal them, no, he didn't. You read as many Bible stories as you like, and you'll find that he didn't. Now, why is it people say he did? Jesus heals. Why is it they say that? Well, they say Jesus heals because of one silly thing. They don't want to take responsibility for it themselves. And when you don't take responsibility for what you have chosen to do, then you back off again. I've been to Catherine Kuhlman's expressions at the Shriner Auditorium in Los Angeles many times. I was writing for the Science Mind magazine, and I was the editor of the magazine writing stories about activities like that that were going on around the world. And I had the privilege of being many places. And with Catherine Kuhlman, here she is, an 80-year-old lady herself, and she had very skinny, and her skin was tight on her. She wasn't as beautiful even as Dodie here, but she is a lovely lady, wore nice clothing. Her father was a Methodist or Lutheran minister or something, but she had the gift of belief. She would say, "Do you believe that you can be healed?" And the people would say, "Yes." And then she'd say, "In the name of Jesus, you are healed." And they would fall back into the arms of someone else. Yeah. Now, did Catherine Kuhlman do that? Catherine Ponder? Catherine Kuhlman do that? She spoke the word. And they took the word and they believed the word. Now, she did not heal them. She had the same problems that Terry Cole Whitaker had. She did not take responsibility. She should have had a banker, but she had husbands, Terry Cole. And Terry Cole let her husbands take the money to the bank each time they had their big affair, their big television shows and so forth. And Terry Cole was on television for many, many years very beautifully. And then she got divorced, and then she got married again, and she believed in her new husband. And he went to the bank, and all of a sudden they realized that there was a couple million dollars that didn't get in the bank. Ah! And then he disappeared. But you see, it broke Terry Cole Whitaker's heart again and again and again. But she kept going after new husbands. And she still had the same problem. Well, our friend from the Shriner Auditorium, she didn't have that problem. She had a staff who robbed her blind, who took her money and ran off with it, you know, and said, "I don't know where it is, I don't know where it is." And that broke her heart. And so Catherine Kuhlman, in her late 80s, stopped performing and died. She had lost all of her respect for... Now, why didn't she heal herself? Having thieves around you is just as much as having illness around you. You understand that? And I had talked to her about this. I had gotten to interview her many times, and we got to be fairly close as it happens. And I talked to her many times about that. I said, "Catherine, rather than having these people handle your bank account, have the local bank come in and have a representative come in and take it and count it and put it in the bank, and then you determine where to go. I mean, you don't need to go through all this itty-bitty-ditty of collecting and counting and stuff like that. Let the bank do it." She says, "Well, if I don't let these people do it, who've been with me for a long time, they will feel I don't trust them." And I said, "Well, something's siphoning away your money. Something's siphoning it away. So you don't trust them. So what? If they believe you don't trust them, then maybe they're not trustworthy. Maybe they're doing something not trustworthy." But she didn't follow the suggestion, and she continued with that problem. That's something else. But that's healing, too. That's healing, too. You see, she believed in it for other people. Now, if I had stood up there and I said, "Catherine, stand up here," and her frail little body and all, and tall and, you know, strong, frail and strong, and I'd say, "Catherine, do you believe that you can be healed and you can be surrounded by wonderful, dynamic people who will handle your finances in the best way?" "Yes, I believe. In the name of Jesus, you're healed." And it would work. That's what she taught. But I didn't do that. I was a younger man at that time, and I didn't feel enough confidence to go and talk to this aged character, you know, who was so much wiser than I. But actually, she didn't follow it. She didn't follow the teachings. Now, let's go to our friends, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those sort of guys, all those 12 disciples. Remember them? 11 ended up at the end, but then we got some more, too. And what happened? They went out, and Jesus said, now go out and preach, teach, and heal, and raise the dead. They came back and they said, Jesus, we can't do it. He says, haven't you learned anything of what it means to be a practitioner? You go out and you speak your word, and they will respond to you. Do you believe you can be healed? And then, as Jesus would speak to the disciples, little by little, they got the message. Little by little, they got the message, and they were able to do the work that Jesus did. Not healing anybody, but putting people into the healing framework, into the framework of thoughts of healing, of thoughts of wholeness, of thoughts of purity and goodness, you see? Jesus was a master at this. He did not allow himself to have one thought in his consciousness contrary to what he chose to do. And that's why his greatest test, Jesus' greatest test, was to look at the people or the person and say, what do you want me to do? What wouldst thou of me? I can only see you through the eyes of my own, and I'm the Christ. I can only see you through the Christ eyes as whole and perfect and wonderful and fantastic right now and forevermore. I can only see you as totally magnificent. Now, how do you see yourself? For me to see you whole and perfect doesn't do you much good. For you to see you whole and perfect does you good. Ellen walks down the street. There are hundreds of people on all sides of her. And then her mother's walking down there on the other side of the street. But Ellen senses her. Mama, 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 somewhere you're around here, mama. I smell you. And you sense that. You sense that. And she senses that her mother is somewhere around, of the hundreds of people passing her on the street, in downtown busy Los Angeles, you know. And she knows. And then she sees her mom. Ma! And her mother looks over and says, oh, I can't get away from that kid no matter what I do. But they get together. And you see, this is how it is. This is how it is. The vibration doesn't have to be anything else. The purity doesn't have to be anything else. Why is it that Ellen, as idiot person as she was, would walk down this street of hundreds, maybe thousands of people, and not reach out to, let's say, 100 of them, and work her healing magic on them? Why didn't Ellen look at the street and see all of those people in wheelchairs and on crutches and with diseases and with cancer and with problems, with family problems and a life that was just miserable? Why didn't she see that? Ellen, and you look at me. Why didn't you see that?
She did.
Huh?
She did.
What?
She did.
She did.
No, she didn't.
She did not. That was not in her consciousness. Their illness was not in their consciousness. She was like Jesus, who could only see through the eyes of the Christ everyone perfect. Yeah. She did not see anyone who was ill.
That's the point.
If she starts going around seeing people, nudge her next to you. Nudge Ingeborg next to you. Now, Ingeborg, you're sitting there with your mouth open, and I'd appreciate it if you don't do that. So, why is it that Ellen did not see all these ill people there? Because that's not Ellen's kind. Why did she see her mommy? Way on the other side of the street, you know, 12 lanes of traffic, you know, and all these people. Mommy, you know. And her mom says, man, I cannot get away from that girl. What? Liebchen. Yeah, Liebchen. But, you see, We don't see the ill people in this world because we're not ill. We don't see the people with problems in this world because we don't have problems. We don't see the people in this world who would like to be whole and perfect because we don't know anyone who wants to be whole and perfect. We only know people who are whole and perfect. And if we ever fall off the wagon, if we ever get out of line and start seeing people with problems and needing our help, needing us at all, then we're not a practitioner. We are just a garbage wagon. We're going around collecting people's garbage. In seminars, I go around collecting people's garbage. I have big garbage. I don't do it. I have somebody else do it. And they go around with a big garbage bag, and everybody throws their garbage in there, throws their old attitudes and old thoughts. And it's a symbol. And it's not what you might call realistic, but it is real. And every single person feels a little lighter, if not a lot lighter, when that's over. I've had people come up at various times from seminars and they say, "Oh, I feel so whole and perfect now. I feel so wonderful. What did we do that I did that?" They don't even remember, you know. They just remember the lecture. They remember the stories. They remember all the stuff, but they don't even remember that. And I said, "Well, you got rid of your garbage." "Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah, but I didn't get it all out." "Well, the garbage bag's, another one's over here, so throw it in there. We'll get rid of it for you. Anybody else got any more garbage?" You know, but you see, to heal is to return to our original purity and integrity. Now, if the original purity and integrity were not there always, we could not return to it, could we? It has to be there for us to go back to it. Now, Dorothea Doty has been living a life of spiritual enlightenment and illumination for many, many, many of her years. I don't know when she first started, but many, many years. And she had a guru that she worked with, a most marvelous man who taught her to think positive thought and think beautiful thoughts. And she says, that's why she likes what I teach, because that's what he taught her. And so, what does she do? Dorothea Doty has aligned herself with a bunch of people who are sick. And she walks through her hospital ward of the aged there. Yeah. You see, you do think of it that way. She walks through her hospital ward and she sees each one whole and perfect. She sees each one magnificent. She sees each one fabulous. And little by little, her apartment complex for elderly, kaput people is emptying out. Not because they're dying, but because they want to associate with whole and perfect people just like they are. They want to be with whole and perfect people, live with whole and perfect people, act with whole and perfect people, and love with whole and perfect, and have a great time. Dorothea has so many people come walking into her apartment and saying, "Oh, Dorothea, you are so wonderful." They don't see Dorothea, they say Doty. "Doty, you're so wonderful, you're so fantastic, you're so great. I wish I was as good as you are. I wish I could, you know, run around like you do. I wish I could be so perfect like you are." And Dorothy, don't go shaking your head one way or the other. Doty said, "My dear, what makes you think you're not? You are. You are whole and perfect. You are wonderful." And she had a young lady that came in with a laundry list of problems, and she said to the young lady, "Shut up!" Now, that wasn't very nice of her. She said, "I want your laundry list of blessings. Now, you go home, and you write your laundry list of blessings, and then you come back to me. And then you can go for the $60 million question. But until you come back with your laundry list of all the good things in your life, all the blessings in your life, and all the wonders in your life, right? Right? And I want to see that list, Dorothy, whoever you are. I want to see that list, you know? Okay? Now, and I don't want to wait longer than a week. So you get with that girl, and you sit her down in your house, perhaps, at your computer, and she probably can use the computer too, and say, type on here all your blessings. If it has to be a paragraph, that's okay, but no more than a paragraph for each blessing. And one blessing, I'm alive. Another blessing, I'm happy. Another blessing, I met Dodie. Another blessing, I am forced to write down my blessings. Another blessing, I like me. And on and on and on. But you see, that's what you want to do. And what happens to you, Miss Dodie, when you do that? You soar. You soar. You cannot help, and I don't want to say that, you are only blessed as you bless others. You cannot help be blessed, but you are blessed as you bless others. As you look with the eyes of Christ in you at your world, you are lifting them. If I be lifted up, what did Jesus say? All will be lifted up unto me. Mm-hmm. So let us be lifted up. Let us be lifted up. You see, if Jesus went around healing people, then what would happen? They would come back again and again for the next call. You're my doctor. He didn't want to be anybody's doctor, even though they called him doctor. Now, what did he do? Jesus went to people and he said, what wouldst thou of me? Jesus went to people and he said, look, here we have this wonderful little girl, and she's taking a long nap, and her mother thinks she's dead. And I say, she only sleeps. And everybody in the household said, oh, he is, off his rocker. I mean, he's certainly some strange one, but let him play his game. Maybe he's got something that'll work here. Maybe he'll throw some pixie dust on her and she'll float up and be back again. And, that's what they think. That's what they think. They like Tinkerbell and her pixie dust, And they think that that's going to heal them and take care of them. Well, Jesus did better than that. He said, what did you give the kid for dinner? Oh, some wonderful honey and milk. Well, of course, the kid's sound asleep. She had probably the best sleep she's had in months. Was she sort of owly before that? Yep. See, Jesus is the doctor, Was she sort of owly before that? Yep. Was she sort of out of sorts before that? Yep. And when she took the milk and honey, did she just drift right off to sleep? Yep. Has she been sleeping ever since? Yep. Okay, now how long has it been? 3 days? Okay, I think that's enough. And so, what did Jesus do, like the hypnotist? Snapped his finger. He said, arise. And then he said, give her to eat. Yeah? Because she was surely hungry after 3 days, And so, she was fine. Now, that was just the daughter. Now, we'll talk about Lazarus later, but this is neat stuff, isn't it? Real neat stuff. This is how the healing principle works. The healing principle is not making something happen, but it is calling forth, revealing our original purity and integrity and bringing it forth in our life so that we will have that perfection that we are. And we will express that perfection that we are. We'll live that perfection that we are. We'll enjoy that perfection that we are. And that's what it is. That's what it is. Jesus did not heal people. He taught healing. You understand? Mm-hmm. He taught healing, and therein he was not somebody's doctor that they came back to again and again and again. What did he say to the blind man? He said, go to the river Siloam, wash your eyes with the water of the river, and then come back. So they went to the river Siloam, washed their eyes, came back. Jesus said, your eyesight is perfect. And they opened their eyes, inside, outside, and they saw perfectly. Then Jesus said to them, as two of them apparently, go and tell no one what has transpired unto you this day. Go and tell no one. And they went off, and they told all their friends, whereas before I could not see, I can see now. Jesus healed me, you know. And what happened? They lost their sight immediately. They lost their sight, not because they violated what Jesus said, but because they did not recognize that they returned to their original purity and integrity. And you can run away from your original purity and integrity just as easy as you can run to it. You understand? Mm-hmm. You can go from it just as easy as you can go to it, and neither one is bad. Who says it's bad to be blind? You want to tell me? You want to tell me that someone who's blind and hasn't quite got the message that they're dumb and they're bad? That someone who has a broken leg is bad? Someone who has any kind of malady about them in any way, that they're bad? I mean, you tell me that, and you're going to experience those things real quick in a hurry. You watch and see. Don't put yourself in a ballpark like that. You put yourself in the ballpark as a healer of looking at everyone in your world through your pure eyes and return yourself first to your original purity and integrity, seeing everyone whole and perfect. And you will continue to be whole and perfect yourself, and everyone in your world will be whole and perfect. Now you say, well, what if some of them don't want to? What if some of them go and tell everybody about it right away? Well, that's an experience that you're not interested in. You see, when I say to you, see their original purity and integrity, when I say to you, see their original purity and integrity. When I say to you, see their original purity and integrity, what's the first thing I say? Sylvia?
See my
original purity and integrity. You see? Practitioner, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. Isn't that what Jesus said? Physician, heal thyself?
Yeah. Yes.
And we don't pay any attention to it, do we? So, practitioner, physician, heal thyself. See yourself returned to your original purity and integrity, which is where you always were and are and will be and stuff. And then, all right, Sylvia, since you've got a role there, what do you see of the other person? You see them recognizing their original purity and integrity and being whole and perfect. But you see, first you see yourself whole and perfect, and there is nothing to heal, right? And then you see them experiencing their original purity and integrity, and there's nothing to heal. They're whole and perfect. You follow my logic on that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to go in that routine, or else you've lost the point.
Right.
And if you lose the point, you're like the guys who got healed and then went away and told everybody when they weren't supposed to. So healing is such a lovely, fun thing, an irresponsible thing. We have no responsibility except to be in our original purity and integrity, which is kind of neat, you know? Being in your original purity and integrity is a very wonderful thing. Now, are you ready to be in your original purity and integrity?
Yes. Yes.
Are you ready? That's a joke. That's a joke. Do any of you have any pains? Do any of you have... You shake your head, so... Don't be so responsive to the negative. Do any of you have any aches and pains? Do any of you have any problems? Do any of you have any relationships that aren't quite perfect? Do any of you have any people in your life that have given you a pain in the ass, a pain in the butt, a pain in the neck, you know, wherever your pain is? I should keep it a little higher level, but I'm very mundane. Do any of you have these?
I live in my original purity and integrity.
The rest of you have it, huh? The rest of you have the problems, huh?
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Yes?
I live in my own purity and integrity.
I'm sorry?
I live in my own purity and integrity.
I live in my own purity and integrity and so on. Is that good?
Yes.
What about you, Ingeborg?
I'm whole and perfect.
Well, good for you. That's not quite the way we were going. We are living in our original purity and integrity. I want you to say we're together. I'm living in my original purity and integrity. I'm living in my original purity and integrity. I'm living in my original purity and integrity. Once more. I'm living in my original purity and integrity. Now, the reason that I want you to say it my way is because you got to learn it one way, and you might as well learn it the most simple, definite way. And then if you want to go off on your tangents of saying it in other beautiful ways, which is not bad, but then you can do that. But I would say to you, do all of you know the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Beautiful.
You think it's pretty complete? Yeah, pretty complete, isn't it? Now, you want to improve on it?
There's no improvement.
There's nothing to improve. I mean, when you have a perfect concept, run with it. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not the all in all. It's good. It's good. And until you can come up with something better, then stay with that. So, when I tell you, and Ingeborg, I have told you this now for 30 years, say what I say, and then in your private time, in your own way, in your own life, say whatever thing you damn please. But when you're in the class, you say what we are telling you to say, because you're learning this. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. And then you know what you come up with? Yeah, but 2 plus 2 is 4, and 2 minus 2 is 0. And we're not talking about that aspect. We're talking about 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. 2. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. So always follow whatever little ditty that we give you here, and later throw it away if you have no use for it. But follow it here. Because if you don't follow on the program that we give you, then you might as well take the program from somebody else. What do you think of Jesus?
Neat guy.
Yeah? That's good. What do you think?
He's a beautiful guy.
What do you think of Jesus? Edith?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry?
I have no idea.
You have no idea what you think of Jesus? Do you think he was a good teacher?
I think so, yeah.
Do you think that he was a very loving man?
Probably.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you are so reluctant to flow with it, but that's okay. If you believe that Jesus was a cool teacher and that he gave us a lot of good stuff, then the least you can do is to practice it. And when you practice it, you don't practice it by making up your own terminology for it. You practice it the way he said it. And the Lord's Prayer has been so bastardized that it is amazing, you know. It is utterly amazing. And the way that people have rewritten it and written it to their own pleasure and to their own goodness, and how do they interpret God? Jesus interpreted God as a God of love. And others interpret God as a God who is of wrath. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You've heard that, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And the devil take the hindmost. Yeah, that's good stuff. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hey, that's cool. That's cool. And I'm sure Jesus would have said that if he had gotten around to it. But he had a lot of parables and a lot of stories to share and to give. Okay, now, who is the healer in your world?
Me.
And who do you heal in your healing in your world?
My awareness.
Me. Not my awareness, me. It includes your awareness, huh? But who is your awareness? What is your awareness, right? Isn't awareness a whatness? Yeah. You see, we want to be careful. Rex was chasing an it, a spore this morning. He's going back and forth across the path, checking something very seriously out. Now, some critter came along there. Maybe it was a Mexican. Maybe it was a coyote. Maybe it was a polar bear, you know. Or maybe it was an alligator that wanted to have his tummy rubbed. Who knows what it was, you know. And so Rex was checking him out, and I kept him in check. But was it an it? Was it a he? Was it a she? Was it a them? Was it a they? Was it, what was it, you see? So we start out with me. We start out with ourselves, and then we go from there. Now, let's just spend a few minutes now on the idea that we want to heal ourselves. Did Jesus heal himself?
No.
He was already healed.
What did Jesus do to when he went to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights?
He meditated.
He what?
Introspected, meditated.
He was in introspection, and he listened within, and he found out, he didn't find out, he got reaffirmed, he reaffirmed that he was God. He reaffirmed that he was magnificent. Now, did Jesus say he was God?
Yes.
And do you think that if Jesus said out loud often that he was God, that he would be been around as long as he was?
No.
No. Because the people can't handle that. The Aramaic people are quite unique. They're quite interesting. And they're not alone. Certainly if Jesus were walking around here saying, I'm Jesus Christ, you know, I'm the healer, and I'm this, and I'm that. And people, as long as he didn't bother anybody, nobody cared too much. But once that he irritated somebody, they'd call the police and have him put away in straitjacket. And perhaps the other person should have been in the straitjacket, but that's another story. So, I return to my original purity and integrity. And when you return to your original purity and integrity, what happens to you? You are your divine self. You are divine. You are your divine self when you return to your original purity and integrity. That's the only place for you to go. Now, what is your divine self? Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's everything that I would delight in my life. Everything, so to speak, that's good. My divine self is so wonderful, so fulfilling, so rewarding, so grand. And I'm experiencing that most every day as it is. I'm walking through life, and I'm smiling at people, and people just embrace me. I'm walking through life, and I'm saying a kind word to somebody, and apparently I touch home on exactly what kind word they were ready to hear, you know? It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And you see, you cannot be afraid to say the kind word. You cannot be afraid to speak out. I don't recommend all of us be like Ellen, because we don't have the charisma, and we don't have the attitude to carry us through. But Ellen can walk to everybody in the restaurant and say, is that a good meal? And they'll say, sure, have a taste, you know. And we can't do that. We don't have that type of a flamboyancy about us. And it's a pure flamboyancy, and it's good. And she goes up to mothers who have little children, and she says, oh, what a lovely little genius. And the mother says, who are you? You know, what are you doing in my world? Why are you talking to me? They don't say that. The mother says, well, thank you. Ellen expects the mother to recognize what she recognizes and appreciate what she appreciates, and the mother does. Now, you see, can you do that?
Yes.
Yes. And do you do that? Yes. Yes. And isn't it wonderful? Yes. Now, let me take this now a step backwards. First, you say these things to yourself. First, you say, I am wonderful. I am fantastic. I am happy. I am filled with peace. I am filled with power. I'm filled with plenty. I'm infinitely abundant. I'm absolutely independently abundant. I'm fantastic. Now, my body is
the temple of the living spirit.
My body is the temple of the living spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means a lot, you see. My body is the temple of the living spirit means that it is expressing its divinity in its maximum right now. Right?
Yeah.
All right, now, what are the other two aspects?
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Spirit, mind, and body. Now, why would you say that your spirit is perfect when your spirit has to be perfect, or does it?
It is perfect.
What is it that has to be perfect?
My
Yeah?
My mind.
Your what?
My idea, my view about
your
me.
Attitude, that's right, your view, your attitude about yourself, that has to be perfect. You see, the spirit is perfect, mm-hmm. but your attitude about it has to be perfect. Now, your body is perfect, but your attitude about it has to be perfect. Your mind is perfect. It is the infinite mind. It is the allness. But our attitude has to be perfect about it. When my mind is perfect, it's not because my mind all of a sudden is perfect. It's because my ability to perceive my mind, my attitude about my mind, is absolutely perfect. Understand? That's a very important and a very salient idea. And it's something that we have to really be aware of in our consciousness, because it's so easy to say, my mind is perfect, my body is perfect, my spirit is perfect. That's right. But do you know it? Do you know that your body is perfect? Do you know that every cell of your body is doing its grateful thing? Or do you have some cells of your body that are there talking to you? You know? Do you have some thoughts in your mind that are talking to you? Or is your mind so pure, so beautiful, so holy, so fabulous? You know? And then, do you feel sort of empty? Now listen to me carefully. Do you feel empty? When you feel empty, that's when your awareness of your spirit is empty. That's when your awareness of your spirit is empty. When you feel empty, it's because you are spiritually dead. And that's your attitude is spiritually dead. And you want to awaken that attitude and no longer have it be spiritually dead, but have it be alive, as the saying goes, alive in Christ. You know. And what is Christ? Christ is the essence of all that is good and beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. Now, is the Christ in you?
Yes.
Yes. And so you want to be alive in the awareness of Christ in you as your spirit is alive and dynamic. Now, Gertrude is in her choir, the gospel choir in Switzerland, and she sings these songs that are so tough. They're so tough with some of the words. And you know, Gertrude has never learned the German language. Gertrude only knows the God language. And so when she sings these songs, she sings the God words for these songs. And every one of these songs is, God is good, all is perfect, all is divine, all my world is wonderful, all my world is fantastic. And that's what she's singing. That's what's in her mind. She is so stupid. She doesn't know the words of another language. Do you know Greek? You probably do. But do any of you know Japanese, you know? And then you tell me yes. Do any of you know Japanese? So you're singing Japanese. And you know, Japanese is a great language, but it's very complex too. They say English is complex, but I don't find it that way at all. But the Japanese... The Japanese is a language that we don't necessarily know in our mind. And so if we speak words of Japanese, we are thinking that they mean something different, and so for us they mean what we think they mean. Except when we say Om Mani Sata, and now if we were to say shit, oh shit, oh shit, you know, what would you think? Oh, come on now, you are really down in the depths, you know. And maybe that's what it means. Have you ever looked up Om Mani Sata? Well, it's a mantra. It must be beautiful. It must be something good. Not necessarily. You go through some of these old German songs, I tell you. The fatherland, you know. And that all the rest of the world is nothing. And we are the conquerors of the world. We are the fatherland. We are the king, the creator. And you go through some of these Polynesian songs. Oh, boy, are they something else again. Any stranger is, you know, why do they have headhunters who hunt heads, who are in the jungles of Malaysia and Borneo and so forth, where they, yes?
And New Guinea.
New Guinea. And, see, she knows all about that. She's been there. She left one head and picked up another one. But why do they hunt people's heads? Now, they think they're doing good. You understand that? They think they're doing good. And they have a number of heads in their houses and on the dashboard of their car. And they have a number of heads. And these were sometimes friends, and they were most of the time enemies, you know. And they think that's good. Now, if you are not careful and you sing their song, there we go, head hunting we go. the more we get, the more that we will know that we're, you know, and so we can sing, and then, is that what you really want to sing? And you have to be careful. That's why when I have these joy songs and people want to put them into German lyrics of familiar songs, I say, now what did those songs say? Because if you sing a joy song and it says one thing, and then you're singing it to a tune that says something else, you're going to be remembering what that is. Now, I said, here we go, ahead hunting we go. what's the English words for that? We're going across the snow, you know, to grandmother's house we go, and that sort of stuff. And it's quite different. But we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to use any words that we don't understand or that might say something we don't mean. Because a word in the universe is empowered. A word in the universe goes out, and it is heard by whomever. And it is heard and followed by whomever. And we want to be very, very careful. So we're doing great. Did Jesus heal others, or did each heal, self-heal? Each self-healed. Each brought to themselves exactly who they were and where they were going and what they were doing. And today we have touched a little bit about that, and it's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes.
So think on these thoughts, and let these thoughts be a blessing and a life of joy and peace and happiness for you. Because I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.